Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazley Lambre, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother, my compadre, on the west side of Los Angeles. ¿Cómo estás?
Estoy muy bien. Estoy muy bien. Always great to see you, Big Brother Waz.
Same, man. You know, I just came back from Cartagena, so my Spanish is there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How was that?
Barely.
We'll do it for the Patreon. We'll do a subscribers only.
Pod. Happened at the bachelor party. Yeah, that's for the Patreons for sure. No, but seriously, just Cartagena is just it's really just a magical place. Yeah. And I was telling somebody when I came back, actually my girlfriend, I was telling her, the first time I went, I guess I was just way drunker and doing way more partying, but like, I didn't realize how African the place is.
Yeah, dude.
You know, like, there's just a lot of Black people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of Colombians are African descended, even if they are, you know, also descended from indigenous folks or Spaniards like yourself.
you know,
a lot of Colombians are Black, which I don't know. You know, as much as I poo-poo and lampoon racial essentialism, on this show, I did find myself that the heartstrings were tugged seeing my people out in Colombia, Nando.
I produced a music video in Colombia in 2010 and so a while ago. But as part of it, we went to this town called San Palenque de Basilio. And the town is kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's in a very remote area, very difficult to get to. And the town is all Black, and it was founded by escaped slaves.
Wow.
And the people there are descendants of those people. So some slaves escaped from plantations somewhere in Colombia, and they basically ran away and founded this little town away from the masters. And they never got caught. They never got found because it was just so hard to get to. And so they lived there and created their own kind of culture, their own musical culture. They have this like strange little language that's kind of a mix between Spanish and some of the, you know, languages that they brought over from Africa. It's a pretty cool little story. I mean, the descendants of those people that live there now are all descendants of escaped African slaves. So, yeah, there's a ton of Black people in Colombia.
That's incredible. And yeah, just, you know, just to tie a bow on that, it just reminded me that like, the people who we interface with, especially here in America, who happen to be from certain countries, right? Like, I think about Colombians who I went to high school with. Isn't Shakira Colombian? Am I making that
up? She is.
Yeah, she is.
Know,
like, it's all, like, you know, sort of fair skin, light skin people. So in my mind's eye, these are Colombians. This would all be Colombians.
Always watch, always look at the soccer teams. You know,
right.
To understand the real racial makeup of a country,
yes.
Look at the soccer team. You know, France is full of Africans and Black people. Yeah. You know, there's some white guys too, but you know,
Colombia, brown people, and you know, Middle Eastern homies, Arabs,
totally.
And all that. Yep.
Yeah, a Colombian soccer team. You know, there's some white guys on it, and there's a ton of Black guys on it.
Yeah.
You know, the same with like Ecuador and you know, Peru has Black people. Like, yeah, you know, there's all over the place.
It's incredible. So yeah, it's just something to keep in mind when I think about Pan-Africanism and the African diaspora, man. We got some brothers and sisters in South America, and we need to not forget about that. So on today's show, man, we wanted to talk about this Norfolk Southern train disaster, toxic chemical spill, explosion, pollution. It's as the days have gone on, this shit has gotten a lot worse. And the more we learn about this company, the more fucked up we realize that it is. And it's interesting.
because we're about to play this clip from Bernie Sanders sort of grilling the CEO of the company on Capitol Hill about like, okay, like now the microscope has been put on y'all asses. You're finally taking under consideration that people who work for you should get 7 sick days a year. Like, really? A company that can afford to give their shareholders $10 billion with a B dollars in stock buybacks can't give their people 7 paid sick leave. And so the more we look at this, the worse it gets. But Jer, please play that Bernie clip for us, brother. Go ahead, Jer.
The country, I think, was shocked to learn a number of months ago that your employees, rail workers, who work in a dangerous job in all kinds of weather, had zero paid sick days. Now, I know that is beginning to change, but I would ask you, given the fact that Norfolk Southern provided $10 billion in stock buybacks recently, can you tell the American people and your employees right now that in order to improve morale in your workforce, that you will guarantee at least 7 paid sick days to the 15,000 workers you employ? I do know you've made some progress. You increased paid sick days for some of your workers. Will you do what most Americans think is pretty obvious, that when you get sick, you get guaranteed paid sick days? Will you make that commitment right now to your entire workforce?
Senator, with our latest agreement with our employees, which included a historic 24% wage increase and access to premium health care benefits, we immediately pivoted to talking to each of our local...
I've been deeply involved. I introduced the amendment on the floor. I know the issue. But what I'm asking you right now, you provided paid sick days to some of your employees. I got it. Thank you. Will you now do it? What most America, what we get here in Congress, our employees get sick, they get paid sick days. Will you make that commitment right now to guarantee paid sick days to all of your workers? That's not a radical demand. It really is not. Will you make that commitment, sir?
Senator, I share your focus on our employees. I will commit to continuing to discuss with them important quality of life issues with our local craft colleagues.
In all due respect, you sound like a politician here, Mr. Shaw. It's not a deal. Paid sick days is not a radical concept in the year 2023. I am not hearing you make that commitment to guarantee that to all of your workers. Clearly, we should have that for every worker in America. I'm not hearing that commitment. Will you make that commitment, sir?
Senator, I'm committed to continuing to speak to our employees about quality of life issues that are important to them.
All right. Well, I'm chairman of the Health Education Labor Committee. We look forward to having that discussion.
You got to love it. Bernard Sanders. There will never be another. It's amazing. You know, you would hope that in an ideal world, our freaking president would be using his bully pulpit, to use the example of not just those workers, but we're going to get into what's going on to the people in the town, to be like, yeah, we need to do right by. And what strikes me, Nando, is that this company, like a company I've never heard of, making billions of dollars. They have all of these employees. They're just chugging along, right? Like nobody's paying attention. Their employees have no voice. Like they can't really do anything to make their lot in life better.
Well, they can't do that because when they tried to strike, the Democrats, led by Joe Biden, intervened to make the strike illegal.
Yes.
That's straight up what happened there, you know? Mm-hmm. The Democrats made the strike illegal. And then, I mean, the fact that this like airborne toxic event thing happened just a few months later, and it was directly tied to, you know, deregulation of the rail industry, the fact that they put like two workers on these trains that are like miles and miles long. You know what I mean? Because they need to cut labor costs as much as possible. The fact that this happens, you know, obviously months after the Democrats crush their union, Biden still hasn't gone to to East Palestine, Ohio. Like, he just hasn't gone. Like, he's just, they sent, like, Trump's been there. Pete Buttigieg went after Trump, and he looked like a total dweeb in the hard hat and glasses. And Biden hasn't been there and been like, and it's just like, it's so weird. Like, the Democrats don't understand something really fundamental. I mean, just from a pure kind of political lens. It's like, they think that, like, if a disaster happens on their watch, they'll be blamed for it. Whereas, like, that's not really how it works. Like, if a disaster happens on your watch, like, say, 9/11, you fucking go to you go to ground zero, you stand rally there, the like, you're the president, you rally the troops, you fucking, you know,
hello,
you rally support, you know, like, shit happens. People understand that shit happens. You have to, like, go, what they want is for you to show backbone leadership, you know, some sort of, you know, that you give a shit about it, you know what I mean? Like, that, and the fact that this, when this happened, there was a kind of weird thing in that the media wasn't really covering it that much. It was just kind of a footnote. And I'm like, this is like Exxon Valdez, you know, like, this is fucking chemicals just pouring into the atmosphere of this community, these people, you know? And it really wasn't until there was, you know, some kind of activism, especially by the part of some of the, like, the left media, like guys like David Sirota, who was just like all over this from day one, that they finally made this an issue. But this was like a big deal. Like, these toxic spills with these kind of weird ass fucking chemicals that no one's ever heard of, the effects that they may have on the medium and long-term effects that they may have on people are completely impossible to really know right now. You know, they don't know what it means to be breathing in these things for months, and like what effects that might have on your cancer rates and shit like that going down the road. Like, remember that movie Aaron Brockovich? Like, they wouldn't be surprised if something
exactly
like
exactly what this the movie was about. Literally, this
is exactly it. So
yeah, it's man, it's crazy, because the reason why that's a stupid political calculation, and you know, and we talk about this stuff all the time on the show where we're like, yo, we get it. Like, people are sort of mired in the muck of this culture shit and partisanism and all of that stuff. Like, we get it, but like, when the rubber meets the road, the shit hits the fan, or any other euphemism you want to use, bro, like, that shit gets thrown out the window. They want to know that the people in charge, whether they be Democrat or Republican, whether this is a conservative county or not, I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Like, you're supposed to show up. Like, this is, we say this all the time, stuff like this. This is exactly what a federal government exists to do. Like, how are these people supposed to help themselves in this situation? This isn't a bootstrap situation. Like, this is the reason why we have a society. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
These problems are bigger than what an individual can solve on their own. And that's why we come together collectively, so that when people are in this type of rut, they can have some type of fucking support.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you hear Brandon, I can't even bring himself to go see these people. It's absurd, you know? And then of course you hear about this shit where, again, we've deregulated every single major industry to shit. So these guys are all left to their own devices. They police themselves. They regulate themselves. And so when this thing happens, they're cleaning it up on their own, which, whatever, instead of paying somebody to clean it, they're doing it at their pace or whatever with their contractors. And then when it comes to testing shit like the water supply, testing the, you know, the toxin levels in the air and all of that, they hire some third party vendor who they pay to hand out results to these citizens, people who are potential litigants. So these folks are supposed to trust the results that are handed to them by the company that is hired by Norfolk Southern to test the toxicity levels of their water supply and their air. Make it make sense, Nando.
This is absurd. I mean, this is America under neoliberalism. I mean, it's just what it is. Like, the state capacity is like so hollowed out. Like, I mean, this shit like wouldn't go down like this in 1960, you know?
No.
Like when after the New Deal, you know, the New Deal was basically what it was, beyond the sort of jobs programs and things like that. What it really was the building up of state capacity, of the American state becoming a kind of modern pseudo social democratic entity that actually did look out for people's lives on some level and actually did kind of intervene in these kind of situations in a way that was more effective and had professionals and civil servants, people who worked as experts and were involved in all things from like environmental regulation to labor issues to, you know, business regulation to industrial planning, like a million things. Like, and since the neoliberal era, the idea is like the government should just step away from all spheres of life.
Because the market is just going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And you know what the fucking market says, Nando? That this is just a blip in the profits.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Causing these kinds of disasters and ruining people's lives, whatever it is that is going to cost to clean this up and, you know, sort of paper over it and make it look nice again or whatever, is just a fucking blip. That's what the market dictates, that they treat these people like shit, that they steamroll them. That's what the market tells them to do, because the bottom line is not affected by handling it this way. You know, and so that's why this whole idea, just like, no, these market actors, why would they want to pollute a town? Why wouldn't they want to keep their workers safe with rails that actually aren't 1,000 years old so they don't have derailments? Why would anybody in the market want to do that, Nando? They wouldn't skip over this at the expense of profit. They would never do that.
Listen, the fact that the rail companies are private, period, is unconscionable. Like, it's just like a very obvious thing that should be nationalized. I mean, I think, like, broadly speaking, you know, ideologically, anything that is necessary for the free flow of the economy, you know, should be nationalized. Anything like that, you know, like there's no way you can't compete if you're a railroad, right? Like, there's a fucking track. And you and I can't start a competing railroad and build another track. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
It's not going to happen.
So for it to be private is really just a transfer of wealth from a social good into the hands of private capitalists, you know? And so there's no reason why it shouldn't be nationalized. It would be much more efficient. It would be much more in the public interest. It would be, you know, if when it's privatized, it's just the only interest, it's profit. And so, you know, like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, the right wing kind of caricature of love's like, oh, you want like the government to make your sneakers? And it's like, no, I mean, they should make some sneakers for the poor or whatever.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah,
there should be like, it's fine for, you know, you and I to start a sneaker company or whatever. But like, you just can't have in private hands things that should be social goods, right? Airlines,
yeah, 100%,
electrical utilities, water,
all of that, like 100%. But at the very least, if you're going to let these people make money hand over fist for no fucking reason, at the very least, regulate these fools, man. Like, at the very least, if we're not going to actually operate it, you know, as a government, as a people, if we're not just going to nationalize this shit and take it over, there should be some kind of watchdog mechanism when the lives, the health, the fates of so many people are riding on this shit. Like, these people should be amongst the most heavily regulated that exist. We don't get to own it, but we watchdog the hell out of you motherfuckers. Because it's important, and it's not as if, like you said, you have some competition baked in that's going to make sure that you're keeping this stuff up the snuff and up the standard. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, this joker is up on Congress, and as he's getting grilled in Congress, another one of his company's trains gets derailed in Alabama.
It's wild.
You cannot make this shit up.
Listen, I hadn't thought about the fucking rail industry for 1 second until there was the labor issue that we covered on a few months ago. And when I heard that two fucking workers are hired to be on a train that could be as like long as like 4 miles long with like hundreds of carts with toxic chemicals, and they just got two fucking guys up there, you know? Like, man, they are the whole thing about capitalism and for-profit private enterprise is that they got to shave down as much as they can to where it's razor thin in terms of efficiencies, right?
That's what makes them a good capitalist.
Exactly. So what they'll say is like,
possible.
And if there's derailments, that's baked into, they put that into the calculation, you know, like they can handle a few derailments as long as they're keeping the, you know, they don't have to pay these like high labor costs or they have to like, you know, do all kinds of safety regulations or have shorter trains or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, this is like, this story to me was this, the whole rail saga that we've been seeing this year is a perfect distillation of everything that is wrong with American politics in the last 40 years, right? Basically ever since the neoliberal turn in the 1970s. It's this is what happens in this kind of society, a society that is poorly regulated with a weak government, you know, with not strong labor unions, with no left party to speak of. This is the natural kind of outgrowth of that. It's just it's inevitable.
Yeah, and in the meanwhile, people are getting grounded into dust. You know, you should check. I would encourage you guys to go check out the More Perfect Union. They did a mini doc going down there and talking to people on the ground. And again, these are just normal, everyday people. These are not folks with means. Like you can't take on a multi-billion-dollar corporation after they fuck up your water supply, after you feel like you're breathing in toxins in your own crib, in your own house. Yeah. Like, they have no recourse, these folks, you know? So in the meantime, while, you know, all the fat cats are on their board, because of course it's a publicly traded company, Nando, we got to operate via the shareholder model. And everything is about maximizing profit at literally every single human cost possible. Fuck, like the thing is, like, these folks don't care about the actual workers whose toil allows for them to make all of this profit. They don't care about those people who are actually whose backs they're actually making the money on. You think they give a fuck about these random people in Ohio? Like, it's like they don't have loyalty to the people that's making them the money. You think they're gonna have any sense of like civic duty to these folks in Ohio? And I'm just like, man, this is so crazy. Because again, like, I'm just like, what do these people do? What do they do?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's one of the things the left always talks about, like socialists always talk about, is that one of the problems with capitalism and privatizing things is that privatizing something like rail, like what you're just talking about, they don't give a fuck about the people in East Palestine. Obviously, they can't. It's just not in their calculus. It's of the profit, like that capitalism, what it does is it privatizes gain, but socializes cost. So it doesn't bake in what are called externalities. You know what I mean? So like if a company is like polluting, you know, like that, there's a huge cost to the people in that community. They have to fucking clean
the
it up.
They have to, the healthcare system, everything.
All of those costs, which are, you know, billions of dollars, are borne by people, not the company, right? Yeah. So it externalizes all those costs and it doesn't factor in to the company's bottom line. So but all the gains are not shared by those same people, right? You know, they don't get to share in the profits. That's the fundamental problem with privatizing things that should be public, is that if there is a kind of externality, often environmental, often health related, often whatever, sometimes they just like kill someone or whatever, those costs are not borne by the private entity. They're
and
borne
again
by
that
society.
Used to be, there was a time in this country where that, like, just to take it back to the workers having zero paid sick days. There was a time in this country where like a company would boast about the way they treated their people. Like, yeah. Our workers got the best of the best. Our workers, look at the healthcare we give them. Look at this. Look, man, we treat our people amazingly, blah, blah, blah. Like, bro, like, do you think at the annual shareholders meeting or summit or retreat at any point, do they talk about how great their workers have it? Just as a concept, anybody who would try to bring that up as some kind of virtue would be completely laughed off the stage. The idea that they would be taking care of anybody but the fat cats. But yeah, this is a story that I think it's the biggest story in America right now. I don't give a fuck about Trump getting indicted in the Southern District of New York or, you know, Biden's proposing some fantasy budget that no Republican would ever go near and all of that other dumb shit, man. This is it. These folks are getting screwed in real time. And it'll be a miracle if they get any justice at all after this. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got. You got anything else, Nando?
No, man. Just, you know, you ready for the Oscars? You got any predictions?
I have no predictions. I still haven't seen most of these movies. Like I said, I told you I got to see Tar.
Yes.
Which I thought was incredible, which was dope.
Excellent. That is my favorite movie.
But I haven't seen, and I haven't watched The Fablemans. I haven't watched none of this other shit.
You haven't watched Everything Everywhere All at Once?
That's no, people keep talking about that. Have you seen it? Do you think it's good?
I've seen it. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
It's good, but like, is it like adult people good?
It's not Tar.
Okay, it's not Tar. Okay.
Tar's amazing.
So it's not Tar. So which one, who do you think is the favorite to win Best Picture? Who do you think actually deserves to win Best Picture?
I mean, the favorite is Everything Everywhere All at Once, pretty clearly, I think. And I think the deserved winner is Tar. Mm. I think Tar should win Best Picture, everything. Best Director, Best Screenplay, actor. And Best Actor. Yeah, I mean, it should win every
best
award.
Best Life, Tar.
Yeah. Dude, that movie I thought was fucking incredible. That was such a perfect kind of examination of how power is wielded and shit. It's just fucking amazing.
And it has shit to say about the current moment, but it's not very preachy.
Without being annoying about it.
Yeah. They have something to say about it, but it's just like, all right, that's besides the point. And yes, the nature of power and greatness as we define it, and what it means for somebody to not just be great, but to be conscious of their greatness.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
No, and to be great in a collaborative field, you know, like like filmmaking or orchestra conducting or whatever. It's like.
Or NBA basketball, Ja Morant.
Or NBA basketball. It's like, you know. You know? Yeah. I thought it was fucking great. I mean, it's, I really hope Banshees of Inisherin has a good run. You know, I hope
Colin Farrell wins
Best Actor.
I started watching it. I was into it, of course. Like, I have a weird, I don't want to say obsession, but interest in Irish people from Ireland.
They're funny.
Not the annoying mix we got in New York. I'm good. I'm
there's no fascination with them. You know, some fucking Sox fan and
those people, I have no interest in them. But Irish people in Ireland, I'm interested in. And
me too.
Yeah, I definitely gotta finish watching.
They're hilarious and they're Catholic, dude. That's why.
And they have this, like, we've been put upon chip on their shoulder that obviously I can relate to as a black man. So,
yeah,
I definitely got to finish watching that. But, yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Make sure you are locked into our Patreon. Please make sure, if you can, if you haven't already, please donate to Jade Hoy and his family's GoFundMe. Obviously, as you guys know by now, Jade was in a terrible accident in November. He's on his road to recovery, but it's a very long road ahead. And as you know, this is America, the healthcare system being what it is. His family needs some help financially in that regard. And I would say this, knowing Jade for 10 years now, this is somebody who, I'm not just saying this, this guy would give the shirt off his back to a stranger. I've seen him do it. And so if anybody deserves generosity, it's Jade Hoy, 1,000%. And so if you can, please give to the GoFundMe. That'll be linked to this episode, the description, and all that kind of stuff. Again, we will see you guys next week. Peace out, y'all.